There are some days at work that are better than others. Mm-hmm. I think that's true of any industry ever.
Yeah.
But today we got to enjoy a special day in that we didn't really focus too much on what we're paid to focus on.
I lost the first half hour, the first hour and a half. So during the radio show, I was watching, I could see the countdown timer and a song would be ending. I'd be like, oh, hang on a second, Adam Sandler. And I'd pause and then jump on the radio with no idea what I was going to talk about. I was terribly ill-prepared.
It's a good way to do a radio show.
Yeah.
And the reason being, we just played some dumb game on the radio, which involved playing a clip of Adam Sandler yelling.
And as it turns out, Adam Sandler yelling is just the thing the world needs right now.
He yells in almost every movie he's ever been in. And for some reason, his yelling just puts me at ease.
Well, he escalates too. He always kind of starts quietly and then he starts yelling. And there's something soothing about that. That's a special skill. Not anybody can do that.
No, and he uses just the right amount of profanity in his mm-hmm. yelling and screaming. I have an example for you.
What?
Well, actually a bunch of examples.
So again, I know what you're going to play here. This was something you built while we were doing the radio show today.
Well, I should have been doing other things.
Yes, well, you should have been, you know, doing journalism. You were putting together a supercut of Adam Sandler yelling in movies.
Shut up! You're gonna die, clown! You think that's funny? I don't hear you laughing now!
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I've seen those finger paintings you bring home and they suck!
Well, somebody get the kid a Happy Meal!
I was at the bank. I was at the store. I ate bad guacamole and I couldn't stop
I hate cursive and I hate all of you! I'm never coming back to school! Never!
You blew it!
Good, then get the hell out of my life. Who needs you? Beat it! Leave me alone!
And it's perfect.
It is.
Perfect.
That's like medicine.
It is. There's two people that I can think of offhand whose yelling makes me smile. One is Adam Sandler. The other is his dear late friend, Chris Farley.
Chris Farley? Oh.
That guy yelling. And sometimes they would be in the same movie yelling. And I can't handle it. Like Billy Madison. That's why Billy Madison's one of my favorite movies of all time.
The yelling?
He's the bus driver in that movie, yeah. Yelling at the kids on the bus.
Everybody on? Good. Great. Grand. Wonderful. No yelling on the bus!
Hopefully every now and again you can just sort of check out of your job and watch Adam Sandler yelling clips on YouTube for like 90 minutes.
Yeah. All you have to do is Google Adam Sandler yelling and there's compilation videos.
Oh yeah. And they're spectacular.
Of just him screaming.
We should probably do a podcast now.
Hmm? Oh, yeah, that thing.
You're listening to the Garner Andrews Show with Bryce Kelly podcast. It's like radio, but on the internet. Wow!
My name's Garner Andrews. That's Bryce Kelly. Welcome to the Garner Andrews Show with Bryce Kelly podcast.
Yeah, it's a real clever name.
It sure is.
Yeah, burnt a lot of calories on that one.
Are we doing recommendations anymore?
Yeah.
I had to retract mine a couple of weeks. I did finish that series, by the way. American Rust.
And?
Eh.
It's okay.
I thought it was a limited series. I don't watch stuff now that I know there's going to be another season or another season. Because I don't want to invest myself in it. I don't want to get invested in it and then find out it's been canceled. And then I don't have a real good firm ending for it.
Maybe what we should do instead of recommendations every week... it can be either a recommendation for or a recommendation against something.
Oh, okay. That's good.
Because sometimes you watch something and it's a bit of a dud and you need to warn others mm-hmm. that maybe you should steer clear.
Yeah. And again, I don't want to say that American Rust was terrible. It was just sort of, it was a little scattered. It wasn't focused. Took a long time to get nowhere.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And I have so much respect for Jeff Daniels and Maura Tierney, who are the stars of that show. Again, this is week number two of me retracting a recommendation.
Okay, so maybe that's what we could do. You could either recommend for or against something.
I will recommend both of those. I will recommend all their other stuff, but maybe not that.
Yeah, Jeff Daniels in The Newsroom.
Oh, he's
fantastic in that
show. And remember that documentary he did with Jim Carrey where they had to find the owner of that briefcase?
They traveled cross-country.
On a mini bike, which was an interesting documentary, but he was spectacular in that.
Yeah.
Who's going first this week, me or you?
You can go ahead.
I watched that Tom Petty documentary over the weekend, which was weird because it was it's called Somewhere You Feel Free. It's a new Tom Petty documentary, and like a week and a half ago, it was in theaters. And then just this past weekend, YouTube is like, hey, we're playing it over here. So I watched it on YouTube. Did you know you can watch YouTube on your TV?
I
think everybody knows that.
I did, but you need a smart TV, right? One of my TVs is a smart TV. The other one's a dumb TV.
I did it for the first time ever. I finally punched in my credentials into my smart TV. And I watched it on, watching YouTube on a real TV, game changer.
That's a dangerous rabbit hole to go down.
Oh, it sure is. But that's where I watched it, and I recommend it. It's the story of Tom Petty, kind of a tumultuous period in his life. He wanted to say see you later to his wife of, I don't know, almost 25 years.
Oh.
And you go back, and so it's about the making of the album Wildflowers. And you go back to it, and you hear the stories of the songs, and you listen to the lyrics again, and you're like, oh, yes, this is a farewell to his wife before he...
Ooh.
Cut her loose.
And did he end up brooming her?
Charming, Bryce. She got her heart broken. Yes, he broomed her right out the door. He did. But it's made up of super grainy 16 mil film footage from the early 90s. Plus, it's interspersed with members of his band talking about him now, like after he's passed away.
Oh, my God, he's dead.
Yeah, Tom Petty's dead.
Jesus, I forgot about that.
He has been for quite some time, Bryce.
Wow, how did I forget that?
Sorry, it's, are you crying? Oh my God, are you crying? He's been dead for probably 3 years, Bryce.
Wow, I can't believe I forgot he died.
And that one hit me hard. I love Tom Petty. And even the Wildflowers album, there is not a dud on that album. From front to back, it's banger after banger.
I'm ashamed to say I don't know a ton about Tom Petty. Is this pre or post Free Fallin'?
This was after Free Fallin'.
Okay.
So Free Fallin' was on Full Moon Fever. This was the album when he disassembled the Heartbreakers. And he said, I'm going to do this on my own.
Ooh.
And he did it. And it's spectacular. So that's my recommendation this week. You can find it on YouTube. Tom Petty, Somewhere You Feel Free, The Making of Wildflowers.
I believe he's also in the documentary. I think I recommended it once upon a time. It's called, The Defiant Ones.
Oh, yeah. He's in there a lot talking about Jimmy Iovine.
Jimmy Iovine and how they worked like with Stevie Nicks and did all this stuff. And just that era of music in the 70s and stuff, it seems like a wild time.
Oh, yeah.
They seem insane.
Yeah. Tom Petty, not a slouch. He knew how to write a music song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And wear a pair of sunglasses.
Sure did. He smokes so much. It's distracting. When you watch this documentary, this stuff was shot in the 90s too. Hmm. And everywhere he goes, every recording studio, every car, everywhere, he's always smoking. He's getting a picture taken with his two beautiful daughters. He's smoking. He never stopped smoking.
Imagine what his car smelled like.
He didn't drive, Bryce.
What?
No, okay. Do you want another Tom Petty story?
Okay.
I don't know if this is fact or fiction. Apparently, Tom Petty stopped driving because he enjoyed marijuana cigarettes.
Oh my, a left-handed cigarette.
Uh-huh, a lot. And he told a story once a long time ago how he was driving home one day and he saw these silver weather balloons in the sky, kind of above, I don't know if he lived in Malibu, I'm not sure. And it freaked him out so bad that he never drove again. It turns out that those balloons, Sean Penn got married to Madonna, like back in the 80s. And they launched those balloons to keep the helicopters away from taking pictures of their wedding ceremony. And Tom Petty, if I'm remembering correctly, said it freaked him out so hard he never drove again after that. He always got other people to drive him because he enjoyed, you know, again, taking marijuana.
No normal person has a story like that.
No.
No normal human being saw Madonna's wedding balloons while high.
And said,
I'm never driving a car again.
Handed his keys over.
Wow. Okay, Tom Petty documentary.
Yep.
Okay, I'll recommend a movie. It was okay. It's one of those movies that's good if you just want to sit down for 2 hours and not learn anything, not think about anything.
Okay.
It's that one that just came out with The Rock and Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, my God.
And Wonder Woman.
I started watching that the other night. I couldn't keep my eyes open, though. Again, I'd hardly slept, though.
Ah. Yeah, it's called Red Notice.
Yeah.
It's not bad. It's a good action movie. It's got a pretty simple storyline. It's got a couple twists. In the end, it has them touring around the world. But there's some, yeah, I mean, there's some plot holes, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
How do you just stumble across a bunker in the Argentina forest? But it was okay. It was good.
Red Notice.
Red Notice. It had some funny moments. Ryan Reynolds had some funny moments. The Rock is The Rock.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to walk away from that movie smarter.
We watched that on Saturday night. I went to bed at 9:30.
Saturday.
How sad. I couldn't keep my eyes open, though. I got to go back and watch it. My wife finished it. She said it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was okay.
Yeah.
It's not going to make you smarter. You're not going to walk away being like, oh, my God, I learned a lot about the world.
Yeah.
But if you want to watch The Rock and Ryan Reynolds beat people up for 2 hours, and Gal Gadot, oh, she's easy on the eyes.
The Garner Andrews Show with Bryce Kelly Podcast.
It's on the internet, where your Uncle Ron gets way too political.
Now I just have that song stuck in my head.
Free falling.
Oh, my God.
That's a good song.
Yeah, I'm free. Free falling. That was way better.
That's debatable.
She's a good girl. Oh, man, I've got an acoustic guitar in my office. Should I go get it?
Maybe that should be the replacement for Journey for Don't Stop Believin', sung by 18-year-olds in bars.
Free falling?
Ironically.
Yeah.
I'm not free falling.
Should we talk about people feeling sorry for you?
Yes.
Pity. It's intoxicating.
Yeah. It's the scent I wear. It's the name of my cologne.
Pity.
Pity by Calvin Klein.
I was talking about this the other day because you and I went to the same broadcasting college.
Mm-hmm.
But I went there so many years before you in its old location. And it is an asshole.
It's a dump.
The old look. It's in like the worst part of town. Don't say what city. Because I feel like the guy that owns this place is going to, he'll sue us or something. So it's not in the city where we're sitting right now.
It's not in Edmonton.
No. So a few years ago, I drove my daughters by. I'm like, hey, you want to see where Dad went to college? And I called it college, even though it was a 3-month course.
That's a loose term, yeah.
Do you want to see where Dad went to college? And they're like, yeah. And they probably had images in their mind of like Harvard Ivy growing up sides of buildings and people walking around tossing footballs in Letterman jackets with their best girl with their sweater on, you know. But it wasn't like that at all. Imagine just a horrible, rundown industrial part of town that's not even an industrial part of town anymore. The buildings are just so crappy and run down. There's no industry anymore. That's where I went to broadcasting college.
And to say they pitied you,
oh my God,
might be an understatement.
We drove them by and they were horrified. And one of them started crying. Like they were probably, I don't know, 8 or 9 years old at the time. One of them started crying because she felt so bad for where I had to go to school. And it was kind of intoxicating, actually. It was like the pity felt good.
A lot of people get hung up on pride.
Yeah, no, I go the other way. I go for pity.
Yeah, and people being proud of you and how good that feels.
Yeah.
I don't know, pity's got its moments too.
So
I had a similar experience. I mean, I didn't go, the location where you went to this school moved just a few years, like not that long before I went there. That's how long they hung into that location.
Yeah.
And the new location is really not that much better.
I've never seen the new location. Although the guy told me I came and spoke there once. I can tell you I did not go and speak there. I don't know where that place is.
It's attached to a church. And it's kind of
the
like
the new location is?
There's a church and like a strip mall.
We should stop talking about it.
It's behind a bar.
We're not selling it.
It's and so like I went there and it seemed a little run down at the time, but then I went back probably a decade later for a wedding in that town and brought someone there. I'm like, this is where I went. And time had not gone well for it. It had not aged very well.
Did they start crying?
There was no weeping.
No.
But I think there was just kind of like, oh my God, are you okay?
Oh.
Is there something you're not telling me?
Oh.
Do you need help?
You know how I can take it up a notch too with my broadcasting college? is that every now and again, I tell, again, my beautiful, beautiful, gifted children, I have two daughters, and I'll tell them now, like, oh my God, this song reminds me so much of when I was going to broadcasting college. I couldn't afford to drive my car. Like, I had no money. I was broke ass broke. And then I'd say, oh, that's one of the songs I'd listen to on my Sony Walkman when I could afford batteries. The part about not being able to afford batteries, too, makes them weep. They feel so bad. And I don't know. I steer into it every now and again. There's a commercial on TV right now that uses one of the songs I used to listen to on one of those tapes. And every now and then that commercial will come and I'm, oh, yeah, that's one of the tapes I used to listen to when I could afford batteries. It still works.
There is a wisp of sadness. The guy who runs that school, by the way, sent me a photo of me in the studio a couple of years ago. And I posted it kind of as a joke, being like, hey, look at me from 2005. And a lot of the comments, people had fun with it, but I could also, I was getting wisps of pity. And I was getting high off of it. It was like a second degree high of pity.
Pity? It's intoxicating, like I said. So we started telling stories of what people feel sorry for you about. This one captured our hearts and imaginations. Hey guys, earlier this year I had a problem vasectomy, 3 weeks of healing, lots of swelling and pain. I'm still dealing with the aftermath in the form of a fistula, which is a hole in my nethers that still exists. It's been such a terrible experience that my lawyer has offered to sue the doctor free of charge for me, and multiple friends and family have signed sworn affidavits for me. Needless to say, everyone feels really bad for me, especially my male friends. How do you go to your family for an affidavit?
Grandma, I need a favor.
Zip.
I need an affidavit.
I need you to examine this. Oh my God.
That's weird. That part I don't understand. Mm-hmm. Sworn affidavit. But you know, things went sideways when you're telling your lawyer about your medical procedure and they're like, you know what? I'm going to do this for free.
Because I think you got something here, man. I think you got something.
I'm not going to charge you for this because you need it.
Imagine the emotional scars, though, too, when you're the guy with the vasectomy that just won't heal and your friends, you're in a group message on your phone and your friends are like, hey, guys, let's rent unicycles this week. And you're like, I can't.
Hey, guys, I got a group on for horseback riding on the beach.
Oh, have fun, guys. Oh.
This is just me. If I got a vasectomy and it went sideways on me, I don't know that I would broadcast that.
I wouldn't tell anybody.
I would keep that quiet. It'd be like, quiet.
If they're like, hey, Bryce, why are you walking funny, pal? I rolled my ankle. Rolled my ankle really good. It rolled it.
You know, some people get headaches when the weather changes.
Yeah.
I walk funny.
Yeah.
Also, I'm going to look up, what was that word? Fistula?
Fistula.
I'm going to look that up on a work computer.
Well, turn your computer the other way. I don't want to see that.
I'm going to Google image that.
I get pity for dealing with all the BS and stress at work. Plot twist, I'm not stressed in the slightest. See, there's somebody else getting drunk off of pity.
Oh, so they're not even feeling the stress, but they're getting the pity for it.
Yeah.
That's a win-win.
Ooh, friends and family signing affidavits after checking out your junk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know, look, a good friend is hard to find. I will help you move a hide a bed. I'll help you move your record collection. I'll pick you up at the airport at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'll lend you $50, whatever. But I'm not going to inspect and sign affidavits.
Yeah, that's the difference between a good friend and a best friend.
Yeah. Your friend calls you over to his apartment. Yeah, come on over. I just want to see you. And you get there and he's got like a medical exam table set up with stirrups on it. And he hops up there and
there's a notary on hand. Oh.
Stop asking people to sign that.
That seems weird to me.
Garner, Bryce, people feel sorry for me because I work outside every single day of the year. My job is never inside. I really don't mind. I like being outside, even in the dead of winter. You learn to dress for it, and it's not that bad. Is it bad that I enjoy the pity? No.
Ooh.
No, again.
No, there's nothing wrong with enjoying a little bit of pity points. I do feel bad for people who have to work outside all year, though.
Oh, me too. I couldn't do it.
There's a snowstorm hitting us right now. Yesterday I was out walking my dog and there were guys finishing up doing someone's roof in my neighborhood.
In curling shoes.
They were on a roof while it was snowing.
I know.
I'm like, what? This seems, but I guess I got to get the roof done.
I wouldn't last 7 minutes on that. I'd probably fall off the roof. Or the guy next to me with the hammer, he would just, after 7 minutes, he would have had enough of my complaining and he would have beaten me to death with the hammer.
And it's a roofing hammer too, so you know he's going to be efficient at it.
You know what we were talking about too? And the reason we got onto this whole topic, wasn't it a guy texted the show and said he'd bought a couple of these really nice shirts?
That's right.
That's what he's like, my phone's going off, sorry. He said, I bought some really nice shirts from Warehouse One. I've never been in a Warehouse One. Have you?
No, I don't think I have.
And he said, these weren't like your regular shirts. They were shirts that made you feel like a boss. So he bought these shirts. And then a few months later, he was in another Warehouse One. And he noticed that those shirts were on the clearance rack. And it knocked him down a couple of pegs.
That has to be a bit humbling.
Oh, God. Yeah. So, I don't know. Is there pity for this guy?
A little bit. You think you're dressing for the red carpet, and then you find out, oh, no, they can't even give these shirts away.
Yeah, they're probably two seasons old. Let's grab a call here. Hi.
Yeah, I just have a comment on your clothing issue.
Yeah, go for it.
Like, imagine how the designer feels, though.
Oh, you put your heart and soul into making this item and clothes, and now it's on the clearance rack?
Yeah, imagine.
Oh. Also, you know who I feel really bad for? Okay, this is totally unrelated, but every now and again you'll walk into Chapters or Indigo, and right at the front door, they've got a local author, and she's sitting there, he's sitting there, and they're selling their book and autographing their book, but nobody's going to buy their book.
Oh my God.
I feel bad for that person too. I've bought books on subjects I don't even, like, I don't know. I don't care how to graft a tree branch onto a tree, but I bought a book about it.
Why?
Well, this guy who's like a local horticulturalist, he wrote a book about grafting branches onto trees. He just looked so sad.
You know what? You're a good person. You know what? I applaud that.
Well, thank you. Sometimes I'm a terrible person, though.
I think all of us can be.
Have you ever done that? Bought a book from a local author out of pity?
No, I have not. I have seen them like in stores and stuff in the mall. And if I wanted to go in the store and I saw them sitting there with no one talking to them,
it would be a deterrent, right?
I will not go in that store. I will go to another mall to get what I need.
You'll go two towns over.
I'll go two towns over just to avoid the awkwardness.
It's, you know, and it's funny because I look at the people who sit behind the little autograph table in the bookstore and I admire them. Like, I respect them because they did what we all talk about doing. We all go, I should really write a book. Well, they actually did write a book.
They wrote a book. They got it published. It's in stores.
Yes. And now they're just sitting there waiting for you to come buy one. They'll even personalize the autograph to you.
That's my biggest fear. My biggest fear. That's why I'll never write a book. That's the only reason why.
Because you don't have to do that.
I don't have to do an in-store signing where no one shows up.
Yeah.
I couldn't handle it.
Somebody texted too and said that the same thing happened, walked into a store. I honestly did buy a book about horticulture. It was not, like, it wasn't just about grafting. That was kind of what was on the front cover of it. But there was other horticultural tips. I hate gardening. I can't stand it. I would never read a book. I wouldn't read a packet of seeds. I have no interest in it. So for me to buy that book, I must have felt really bad for the guy. But somebody else texted and said that they saw a young author and she was, same thing, set up in a bookstore and her book was about horses. And this person said something like, I don't give a single F about horses, but I bought the book.
Reminds me of that old Mitch Hedberg joke.
Oh, yeah.
Where he says, I have to do CD signings in store, and if no one shows up, I just pretend I'm shopping.
Mitch Hedberg, is it too late to do a recommendation?
He's a guy that caught a case of the deadsies, too.
You're listening to the Garner Andrews Show with Bryce Kelly Podcast.
Oh, we kind of mentioned it a second ago, but it's snowing here in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, as at the time of recording, at press time.
wouldn't that be weird if you were listening 7 years from now and it's like a heat wave and we're talking about, we have a full on blizzard going on right outside these walls right now.
48 hours ago, there was no snow on the ground.
No. And now we're getting pounded.
Like we got 20 centimeters in the last day or so. Like it's gross and it's cold and it's windy and it's nasty. And so just kind of got talking about today, based on the weather, on everything. Today is a grilled cheese and tomato soup day.
It sure is.
Like, it has to be.
You summed it up beautifully when you said that on the radio show this morning. You're like, this is, I'm going to stop on my way home from work today and get the ingredients for grilled cheese sandwiches. Although I question your pantry if you don't already have, like, what is it? Bread and cheese.
I don't have the bread.
Oh, really? You're cutting down on carbs, I can tell.
No, I got cinnamon raisin toast, but that's not a grilled cheese bread.
That would be disgusting.
No, I need just regular bread.
Yeah.
That's what I'm lacking. So I need to go get that.
And anytime you talk about grilled cheese, and we did, by the way, we have no authority to do this, or maybe we do. We have declared today National Grilled Cheese Sandwich and Tomato Soup Day. Bang, bang, bang.
I should have. Justin Trudeau was in town yesterday.
Oh, you probably could have got him to sign.
I think he was by my house, too.
What was he doing over there? Like
the soccer team was practicing at the soccer dome.
Oh.
On the south side.
Oh, okay.
Not that close to my house, but close enough that I could have stopped by and just said, hey, JT, because that's how we address each other.
Yeah.
And said, can you make tomorrow
National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day?
And Tomato Soup Day? And he would have been like, no problem, B.
Yeah.
And then he would have flown off to Ottawa and made it happen.
He would have elbow bumped you first and then just.
Yeah, one of those cool foot taps that they all do.
But it's amazing. Anytime you talk about grilled cheese sandwiches, what is it with people who have to overcomplicate everything?
The beauty of this particular dish
yeah.
is that it's, like you said, it's bread and cheese and then a bowl of Campbell's tomato soup.
That's it.
That's all it has to be.
People are like, what you have to do is you have to travel to this far off cheesery and you have to buy this cheese that nobody can pronounce the name of. And then you put that between two pieces. No, you're overcomplicating the grilled cheese sandwich.
No, it's straightforward. It's two ingredients. If I'm feeling really crazy, I'll put a piece of Black Forest ham in that grilled cheese.
Then it's a ham sandwich, Bryce. This one, though, can I read you one alteration that I do believe in?
Okay.
Try putting Hawkins cheesies in your Campbell's tomato soup. Game changer. You will never go back to crackers.
Okay, because I'm fully on board with the saltines in my tomato soup, but the Hawkins cheesies.
Hang on a second. What you're doing there is you're doubling down on the sodium. Have you ever checked the sodium in a can of tomato soup?
Oh, it's a bad day for my water retention.
Yeah. Oh, I can't get my ring off. Sorry, ladies. But the salt, the sodium in a bag of Hawkins cheesies. Ooh, but how delicious would... I will try that. I will.
Yeah, some days you just have to say, I don't care about the nutrition label. I'm putting Hawkins cheesies and tomato soup. Okay, I can get behind that.
Oh, this one too. When this text came in, we were just sitting in it was during the radio show, and there was a song on where our mics weren't on yet, but I wish I would have captured Bryce's reaction. Somebody texted and said, I had grilled cheese and mushroom soup last night for supper. Bryce's reaction was, grow up.
Mm.
Like you were angry.
My anger probably didn't match the level of crime that was committed.
Yeah, I don't understand why they have to grow up. I also agree, like mushroom soup, delicious. I love mushroom soup, but it doesn't go with the grilled cheese sandwich.
No, it's like red wine and fish. Is that the combo that works?
There's
just a certain pairing that works.
Yeah.
And it's tomato soup and grilled cheese, not mushroom soup and grilled cheese.
That's the way you yell, grow up.
You do have to grow up. There's only one way to do it right. And I feel like they're intentionally getting it wrong just to get me riled up.
Yeah.
And you know what? It's working.
Go to the grocery store. Get some tomato soup. Oh, what's that? You got a DUI? Walk. Get some tomato soup.
Take the Shoelace Express and get some tomato soup.
Oh, should we talk to Crystal here? Crystal, I know you're driving right now.
Absolutely. But you know what I wanted to tell you to try? Because I'm 100% on board with the mushroom soup with you.
Mm-hmm.
So open a can of mushroom soup and pretend like you're making a grilled cheese sandwich, but instead of putting the cheese in the middle of the bread, the condensed canned mushroom soup in there and make it like a grilled cheese.
So basically you're having a soup sandwich?
Yes. And I'm not even kidding you. It'll change your life.
I don't know how I feel about this. I love bread. I love sandwiches. I love mushroom soup. But to pour a can of soup between two pieces of bread, it sounds incredibly messy.
Well, okay, but you're not putting any liquid in the soup. You're just scooping the stuff out of the can and then putting it in the middle of the bread.
Okay. Has anyone else tried this?
The trick is don't put too much because you'll burn your face off.
Does that sound disgusting or fantastic?
It sounds disgusting. Also, I just can't wrap my brain around the science of using soup as the middle part of a sandwich. Wouldn't that just disintegrate the bread?
Well,
what's going on here?
Somebody is just saying, I can't imagine soup on two pieces of bread. Imagine how soggy the bread would be.
Yes.
I can't be the only one who thinks that when the soup comes out of the can, it looks disgusting. It tastes great, but looks like a thick log of vomit.
Log of vomit?
Vomit Log in their brand new album. Vomit Log is another metal band name. Like like that Norwegian dark death metal.
Although Log of Vomit might be a good title for this part two of my autobiography.
You know what? When you do dump the mushroom soup contents out of the can, sometimes you get the soup can fart, like you get with the cranberry sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a weirdly satisfying noise.
It is.
And it's a mixture of pride and disgust when your soup comes out of the can, but it still holds the shape of the can.
You see the little ridges down the side?
Yeah.
It's almost like you just want to leave it on that plate for everybody to see.
On one hand, it's kind of gross because you're like, no healthy food retains its, it shouldn't look like the inside of a can.
You hit it with a knife just to watch it wobble.
But it's weirdly satisfying.
I would watch hours and hours of YouTube videos of just people dumping cranberry sauce or mushroom soup out of cans. It comes out on a plate, stands there, and then in slow motion, they just tap it with a knife and you just watch it jiggle. It'd be very soothing.
How great would it be if you're having like Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner and that's how they bring out the cranberry sauce shaped like a can?
My parents used to make grilled mushroom soup sandwiches.
What?
Basically, you put the mushroom soup as a spread on the bread and grill it. It's actually pretty good.
Huh. I can't get behind this.
I might have to try this.
This sounds really weird.
You're listening to the Garner Andrews Show with Bryce Kelly Podcast.
They're trapped in your phone. Forever.
You know how we declared that there should be a National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Day?
Boy, do I.
We should also have National Stop Talking to Me in the Drive-Thru Day.
Ooh. I think that should just be law year-round.
This people got mad when we talked about this, though. It's like, what? You don't want people to be friend? Being friendly in the drive-thru is hey, how's your day going? Good. Like, that's all it needs to be. Like, you can say, hi, good morning. That you don't have to, I don't want to get into my life story. I don't want to get into what's bumming me out today. I don't want to get into what I'm looking forward to for this upcoming weekend. I'm here for a coffee. That's it.
Yeah, there doesn't need to be a back and forth. The politeness can just come from the good morning.
Yeah, that's it. But we got this text message. This came in a couple of weeks ago. So there's a reference in here that might sound dated. But this person said, oh my God, I just went through the drive-thru for a famous coffee place. The girl was so chatty and really tried to, quote, get to know me. Ugh. And then they do this in dialogue form. What did you do for Halloween? Nothing. Oh, why? Do you always do nothing or just this time? It's a little early for chit chat, okay? Oh, I understand. My mom comes into my room and just talks to me and it's so annoying, blah, blah, blah. Oh my God. I think I'll start driving 15 minutes out of my way to avoid this particular location. I don't want to be a jerk, but catch the vibe, girl, and realize when it's time to just let the customer be.
Wow. They even tried, even saying now is not the time for chit-chat.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that.
No. I sit there and I just suffer.
I just take it.
I stare dead ahead and I answer their questions with one-word answers. Yes. No. Yes. Yes. And this, I wrote back to this person when they texted and I'm like, oh my God, I think I know that location. And I sent them there's a this we all know which place this is, right? It's mm-hmm. from Seattle.
Yeah, it's a well-known coffee chain.
And I said, "Is it the one on this street, on this corner?" And they said, "No, this one, it was in the opposite part of the city." So I'm guessing to myself that this comes down from the top, and management up top is like, "Okay, everybody, get to know the customers, engage them in conversation, or you'll be docked pay." Like, I feel like that's where it's coming from. Because if you worked there, you wouldn't, you're making, sure, there are probably some people that love their job, but the conversation is always so forced and has nothing to do with what's going on in your car at the moment.
No, and the big draw of a drive-thru is supposed to be the speed.
Yes.
That you get in and you get out. You get your coffee and you keep on blazing into the night.
Yes.
Or the day or whatever. And yeah, when you start bogging it down with questions that no one wants to answer.
I only go to this place on Saturday mornings because the rest of the week it's not open when I drive to work. So it's not an option for me. But on Saturday mornings, I'll go through the drive-thru and they literally say, "So what have you been up to so far?" "Well, I went for a walk." "Oh, where did you go?" "It's like, I walked around the neighborhood for an hour." "Sometimes I walk around the neighborhood too, but like, did you go to this part?" "No, I walked around the neighborhood." It's not like I drove somewhere. I saw majestic vistas or anything like that. I saw sidewalk in my neighborhood. That was it.
Yeah. And we've talked about it before too, about how, you know, it's not just this particular coffee chain, but when you're paying your bill at a restaurant and all of a sudden it's, what else are you getting up to tonight? Up to anything exciting today?
And you look at your watch and you go, "Well, it's 5:20 and this is where my day peaked." Do I tell her? Do I tell her that this is it, that I'm going home now? Or do I just make up some grand plans for the rest of the evening?
See, I'm someone that is always just like, no, this is about it. And normally that's so sad that they just leave it. But I happen to be partnered with someone who will be like, we're going to a movie. And then they go, what movie? The conversation, and I finished paying 10 minutes ago and the conversation's still going.
Don't hate on us. Like, I know that there's people probably listening right now who are like, "You guys just sound old and curmudgeonly." No, I will be polite, but I don't want to have conversations with people everywhere I go. Sometimes I just want to move on.
That's where we had the probably trillion-dollar idea of incorporating a new thing into everyday life. Very similar, inspired by, if you've ever been to a Brazilian steakhouse restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
In those restaurants, they just keep bringing you meat nonstop. And you have a little thing on your table. It's either green or red.
It's like the card a referee has in his or her pocket that they can red card you.
Yeah.
Or yellow card you.
If the card is green, they'll just keep feeding you meat. If it's red, they'll just leave you alone and let you finish what you have.
Yes.
So maybe in the, I don't know, the top left part of your windshield.
Where the oil change sticker goes.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe you just put the little red side up.
Throw that thing out because you know you're not getting your oil changed in time anyway.
No.
And put either a green or red sticker that they can see from a distance. And they're like, okay, this person just wants their coffee.
It's okay to still say, "Hey, good morning" to me. You don't have to be absolutely silent. But I'm not going to tell you what I'm dressing as for Halloween. I don't want to.
Thanks for listening to the Garner Andrews Show with Bryce Kelly podcast. Theme music by Garner Andrews. Guests of the podcast stay in the dumpster behind the building in the rail yard. Classy.